You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Did he dope? Did Sean Combs force his staff to stash pink cocaine 24/7? Well, he wasn't using it all. So who was he giving it to? Or slipping it to? This as more sex assaults emerge. Joining us tonight, high-profile lawyer representing an alleged victim, Lisa Bloom. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Sean Diddy Combs appears in front of new judge Arun Subramanian wearing tan jail clothes and a huge grin. The mogul seems to be in good spirits. One reporter asks Agnifilo what the roughest part of prison is. Agnifilo's short and shocking response? The food.
As the claims of brutal rapes and sex assaults emerge, let me show you a clip from TikTok. And it's coming at a really awkward time for Sean Puffy Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Love. It's of Sean Combs reportedly, apparently, asking a 12-year-old little girl to party at an after party.
Come to an after party tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, you know, my longtime colleague and friend Lisa Bloom joining us. You know, Lisa, sometimes you have to search and search and search for evidence. You got to beat the bushes. You got to bam on doors, jump out from behind cars to catch a witness with a subpoena in your hand. And then sometimes things just fall in your lap, like that TikTok video. Did you see that? Hold on, Lisa. Let's watch it one more time. Now, this is surrounding MTV Awards, and you see, it's back in, I believe, 2003, the MTV Movie Awards comes.
Come to an after party tomorrow.
Yeah! That's where our friends at MTV. That's just one of those things that just happen in life, Lisa Bloom. Really? Now, think about it, Lisa. Think about every grown man in your life. Would one of them walk up to a 12-year-old little girl? They might say, well, aren't you a pretty girl? What are you going to be when you grow up? Not, hey, babe, you want to go with me to an MTV after party?
Yeah, this is really sick, Nancy. And you're right. Video evidence is always so important to juries. We saw the Cassie Ventura video where he's beating her in a hallway, kicking her, dragging her. And I think that changed a lot of people's minds about who Sean Combs is. And my client, Don Richard, alleges that behind the scenes, he was brutal, he was threatening, he was violent, and a lot of people were really forced into sexual activity or tricked into it or drugged into it against their will.
Don Richard is one of Lisa Bloom's clients who is making allegations against Sean Combs, now under federal indictment and sitting in the MDC CI Correctional Institute. Let me ask you this, Lisa. You have intimated, or it's been interpreted that you intimated, I doubt very seriously you would drop a hint you didn't intend to drop, that your client, Don Richard, is actually the anonymous accuser named as anonymous in the federal indictment against Sean Combs. Is she?
No, I did not hint at that. Some websites had headlines about that. But no, what I did say was that she will fully cooperate with the feds if and when they want to talk to her. This is not just about money for her. This is not just about a civil case. It's about justice and accountability. And if they want to talk to her, she is perfectly happy to talk to them.
What is the crux of Don Richard's story, Lisa Bloom?
It's a sad story. Don Richard, for those who don't know her, is a very successful singer in her own right. She's got millions of social media followers. She's on tour right now. And in 2004, she tried out for Making the Band. She was selected. She was in the band Danity Kane and later in the band Diddy Dirty Money. She alleges that she wasn't paid money that she was owed. She was exploited. She was locked in a car, locked in a hotel room, groped, grabbed. She saw a lot of physical violence. She was warned that she was a victim of violence. If she ever complained, she tried to speak up for other women who she saw being assaulted. And nothing was done, and she was repeatedly threatened.
Now, Lisa, this ties in directly to claims that Sean Puffy Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, should not be released on bond. And you know, the defense attorneys are not going to give up. They're going to continue trying to get him out on bond, which is a grave mistake because he's going to trot right over to Teterboro and take off. Mark my words, he will leave the country. He's staring on the wrong end of a barrel with this federal indictment. And you know the feds, Lisa, if they don't get him on rape, they will get him on a gun charge. There's really no question. All that is this your home? Yes. Was this gun in your home? Yes. Case closed. And he's looking at $15,000 and $250,000 fine. So he's going to run if he gets a chance. You say, Lisa Bloom, that your client, Dawn Richard, knows that witnesses can be intimidated, not just by Sean Combs, but by his hench people that somehow are still loyal to him.
Well, this is how he got away with it over the years. And Nancy, I'm so glad that you raised this issue of bail, because our case came up in the bail hearing. The prosecutor said that he tampered with a witness in my case. And briefly, what happened was we filed our civil complaint a week before the government's criminal complaint that came later that really was strikingly similar to our case. But after we filed our complaint, only one person came out publicly and trashed my client, Dawn Richard, and said she was lying. Well, the government was tapping Mr. Combs's phone, and the government said at his bail hearing that he had over 100 contacts with this woman who trashed my client in between the filing of our complaint and when she came out publicly against Dawn Richard. And then after she came out publicly, there were zero contacts. So the strong implication is that he convinced her or he offered her money or something to tamper with the evidence in my case. And that was one of the primary reasons why the judge said, you're not getting bail, Mr. Combs, because we don't want you tampering with witnesses.
Okay, let me break down. I'm drinking from the fire hydrant here with Lisa Bloom, who is representing yet another alleged victim of Sean Combs. We're going to get to the pink cocaine in just a moment and the new alleged child victims of Sean Combs. Lisa, let me understand what you're saying. You are saying that you believe from behind bars, Combs is having his hench people intimidate witnesses. And that is proven by, did you say, over 100 phone calls to whom about what?
So he wasn't behind bars yet. This was before he was arrested. The government says that he had over 100 contacts with a witness in our case who came out publicly and accused my client of lying. And the government says that is evidence of witness tampering. By the way, he's accused of doing this personally, not through a henchman. And he knew his phone was tapped because on a phone call, according to the government, he said, my phone is tapped. I can't say very much.
Oh, dear Lord. Lisa, how many times have you either participated in a case as the lawyer or we covered it together at court TV or since where somebody's like, yeah, our phones are probably tapped, but I did it. They know the feds or the jail or whoever is listening. Are they that arrogant? I know they're not stupid. But why do they do it, Lisa?
Well, they are. You know, we always say, Nancy, they have the right to remain silent, but not the ability. And some people just can't help themselves. And listen, we know that the government found a lot of drugs in his hotel room. Maybe he was on drugs. Maybe he was just high on his own ego. Maybe he thought he would get away with it because he's gotten away with so much for so long. But it's all crashing down on him now, isn't it?
Okay, I think I need a shrink. Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, high-profile psychoanalyst out of Beverly Hills, author of Deal Breaker, and you can see her now on Peacock. Dr. Bethany, I know Combs is not stupid. He's reputedly a billionaire. He didn't get that by just falling off the turnip truck. So why do they continue to blab on the phone when they know, obviously, the feds are tapping them?
Well, I love your use of the word arrogance because they do feel that they're above the law. Nancy, people who have traits of sociopathy and sex addiction notoriously become paranoid and anxious as they're about to be caught, but all the lead up to being caught, they really don't think anything bad is going to happen to them. So sociopaths.
Okay, wait, please just stop right there. Arrogant. Has anybody been to a party where you serve hors d'oeuvres to a whole room full of partygoers on top of a naked woman? because I've never been to a party like that in my life. I've been to plenty of strip clubs in daylight hours, of course, trying to find witnesses. And they are filthy, by the way, in case you're tempted to go to one. They're disgusting. That said, no, never. Speaking of arrogance, and he's standing there like it's no big deal. There's a naked lady with sushi on her body. What?
Oh, Nancy, you know, I saw this in a James Bond movie once. They had a naked lady lying on a table. I was way before
the
week.
Okay, well, that's not real.
All right. That is not real. But this shows the point to which he thinks of people as objects. She was just a decorative object.
Wait, Bethany, I know everything you're saying is correct, but Lisa Bloom, can I just ask you something? I'm sure, since I know you, that you have formed some sort of a kinship with your victim, that you're representing Dawn Richard. When you think about what she says she endured at the hands of Sean Combs, and then you look at this photo of him eating sushi off a naked lady, and let me just throw in the TikTok where he asked a 12-year-old to go to an after party. The way he treats people, did he think it would never end, Lisa?
Yeah, isn't there a sanitation issue with the sushi on a skin? Okay, but anyway, putting that aside, what it was about for my client was she was trying to have a career in the music industry, and she was doing well, but she did not want to lose her career. I mean, that's the problem, is that, look, if people want to consent to, you know, all kinds of sexual and weird things, that's up to them. That's fine. But nobody should have their career hinge on being groped, being grabbed, witnessing violence, witnessing non-consensual sex acts. That's what this really boils down to.
So, Lisa, what is she saying Combs did to her? Not what she witnessed him doing to other people, but what did he do to her?
That she was groped, she was grabbed, grabbing her breasts, grabbing her buttocks, not paying her the money that she was owed. And when she asked for it, she was threatened with violence. I mean, it's a disgusting, long story from 2004 up until the present. And she witnessed some of these incidents of violence against Cassie Ventura, against Kim Porter, his former wife, now deceased. And she tried to speak out. She tried to stand up for the women, and she was threatened.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, the claims of brutal sex attacks, including on minor victims, the claims are mounting as Dawn Richard tries to speak out now through Lisa Bloom. She is being attacked. It seemingly never ends. Listen to this.
The now youngest victim to file against Sean Combs claims she was just 13 when she snagged an invite to Diddy's 2000 VMA after party. Combs' limo driver told her Diddy likes younger girls and allowed her into the car. At the party, the victim feels woozy and lightheaded after one drink, so she finds an empty bedroom to lie down in. Combs then bursts into the room with two celebrities, grabs the girl, and says she's ready to party. Combs throws her towards a male celebrity who undresses and rapes her. Combs then takes his turn with her, all while a female celebrity looks on. The girl escapes after fighting Combs' attempts to force her into oral sex, running out of the party naked.
Combs' exorbitant wealth and extreme power made victims feel like they had no choice but to comply.
A common theme in the lawsuits and federal indictment against Sean Combs is his widespread use of NDAs to intimidate victims into silence. Everyone in his circle and attending his parties was asked to sign what many attorneys have called the most broad non-disclosure agreements they've ever seen. Many signers did not fully understand what they were agreeing to and were not provided copies of the document, leading them to fear endless litigation if they were to speak up.
Can these NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, keep witnesses from testifying at trial? Now, former Danity Kane star Dawn Richard files a lawsuit against Combs, claiming he sex assaulted her, deprived her of food and sleep, refused to pay her, and also that she witnessed him abuse his former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, and saw him and associates engage in illegal drugs and sex acts with underage children. underage girls. Joining me, an all-star panel, but now straight out to Lynn Shaw, founder and director, Lynn's Warriors, who is devoted to stopping sex exploitation. Many people claim a defendant cannot change modus operandi, method of operation, MO. That is not true. We've pointed out many, many examples all the way back to Ted Bundy, where MO was obviously and radically changed. So why is it so hard for people to accept that a person, allegedly Sean Combs, can attack women and teens?
You know, it's the same old playbook, Nancy. It's blame the victim, blame the vulnerable person. The powerful one has more control over the vulnerable one. The vulnerable one is a liar. We have seen this. Every person we work with has the same exact story, and they don't even know each other. So what I have to say is, why? Why do we think this way? Why aren't we changing the culture in 2024, almost 2025, believing a victim survivor first and breaking it down from there? And I have to ask you, talking about these NDAs also, a minor can't sign an NDA, can't consent to anything. So none of that holds. But we always heard from our street sources here in New York City that there were a lot of minors. I know we have to go with, you know, proof and all that. We always heard there were a lot of minors involved in this whole dirty ditty story. Always. And I just want to throw out a PSA right here on your show, Nancy. If somebody says to you, I know how to make you a star, come with me, prove yourself sexually, I'll make you that star. You know what? Run for the hills.
Joining me also, in addition to Lisa Bloom, Dr. Bethany, and Lynn Shaw, Kayla Brantley, investigative reporter with DailyMail.com, also host of Daily Mail's podcast, The Trial of Diddy. Kayla, thank you for being with us. Explain what is an NDA and how, wrongfully, many people believe an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, can keep people from testifying in a criminal case.
Right, Nancy. Well, thanks for having me. Typically, NDAs, everyone automatically thinks, you know, they're locked, you sign it. But as you mentioned before, you know, if you're a minor can't consent to anything. And we have victims now claiming that they were 13 years old at the time. So that doesn't excuse them from the NDA. And they can testify, as you said, in a criminal trial. So Diddy might think that he was able to get away with this for so long because he had those ironclad NDAs. But you can see that it's all now unraveled.
Well, one person we know that signed an NDA and may not have been able to speak out before was longtime girlfriend Cassie Ventura. Listen.
Now that the accusations against Sean Combs are criminal, many who have signed NDAs could be called to testify, namely Cassie Ventura. Ventura may have agreed not to speak about her settlement with Sean Combs publicly or in further civil suits, but when it comes to criminal proceedings, she is not bound to silence. Former Bad Boy rapper Mark Curry has also speculated that when Combs released his publishing rights back to artists last year, he may have required those artists to sign NDAs.
We just saw the video from TikTok where Sean Combs, seemingly jokingly, but who knows, is asking a 12-year-old girl to an after party. And you see everyone around, including Ashton Kutcher, I'm sorry to say, laughing like that's really funny.
When I die, I want my last words to be, I did it.
From our friends at VH1, Lisa Bloom, isn't it fortuitous how words come back to haunt you?
Absolutely, especially words caught on video. And Nancy, I also want to point out, as you pointed out, there's people all around him who are enabling, who are complicit, who are laughing, who think this is all a big joke when he's asking a 12-year-old girl to an after party and when he's bragging about what he does at his parties. And in our case, it's not just against Sean Combs, it's against 20 other individuals and entities who we say were complicit, because you can't have this scale of sex trafficking and sexual assault with just one person. It requires an army of people, and we allege that's what he had. And that's what the government alleges, too. In the criminal case, they're called co-conspirators. In our case, they're called people who are complicit or enablers, but it's the same thing. And I think not just Sean Combs, but everybody needs to be brought to justice.
Another victim claims he was invited to a Diddy party to be passed around to multiple A-listers. The personal trainer is invited to a 2022 party by a client of his. A private car picks him up for the event, and the trainer is given a drink on arrival with instructions to finish it if he wants to enter. Minutes later, he starts to lose control of his body as a security guard escorts him into a secluded room. Combs performs oral sex on the trainer, then forces him to perform oral sex on another celebrity. As the man slips in and out of consciousness, he's vaguely aware that various men and women are performing sex acts with his limp body, using him like a party favor. Rodney Jones' explosive lawsuit claims that Diddy's chief of staff, Christina Corum, insisted that all employees carry a variety of drugs on their person at all times, so Combs' drug of choice was always available to him. In addition to pills, ecstasy, marijuana gummies, and GHB, one of Combs' alleged preferred drugs is pink cocaine, a mix of ecstasy, ketamine, caffeine, and a psychedelic known as 2CB or 2C. Former NBA player and recovering addict Lamar Odom says pink cocaine can cause auditory hallucinations. It's also reportedly the same drug Liam Payne used shortly before falling to his death from the balcony of a Buenos Aires hotel.
Straight out to a former DEA agent in the Miami Field Division, former Federal Task Force officer for the DOJ, Robert Crispin. Crispin, what is pink cocaine?
You know, it's a powdery substance of ketamine that's mixed in with a lot of other different drugs, such as GHB, MDMA. And these are drugs that alter the system and start to make your brain stop telling your body how to react and start to slow down. Therefore, you become prey to your victim. It's a designer drug. It's another date rape drug. And it just became popular in the U.S. probably 3 to 4 years ago, but it's very commonly used.
Pink cocaine actually looks pink. That's where it gets the name. It looks pink, and it is used often as a, quote, recreational drug. What effect does it have on the person using it, Crispin?
It has a lot of different effects. And to talk about the color, they do put food coloring in there as well, and they also do make it, at times, smell like strawberries by chance. But it starts to shut down your response system and to sometimes make you do hallucinations, sometimes make you very sleepy, sometimes not be able to control your functions. It all depends on what drugs they're actually mixing this with. And depending who the chemist is and who decides to put what in there, it's just a variety of all the date rape drugs, GHB, the gamma hydroxybutyrate. It could be MDMA, also known as ecstasy. So it's a deadly combination, but it's used widely at these parties to give to victims so they can't fight you. You can't fight after you've ingested it.
Pink cocaine, like Crispin is saying, is made up of really a revolving group of drugs increasingly popular on the club scene. Usually you think people know they're taking it, but not necessarily true when it comes to Sean Combs. The concoction can often contain an ecstasy-like drug, methamphetamine, opioids, psychoactive substances like bath salts. It's cheap, and that attracts people to it. Now, it's a misnomer to call it pink cocaine because it actually doesn't usually contain cocaine. It's a party drug like ecstasy, like GHB, gamma hydroxybutyrate, the date rape drug. Now, I want to show you a photo that we have obtained that is from court docs. Take a look at this dispensary item. Now, Lisa, I hope you can see this because we believe that this was used to inject people, drug people without their knowledge at these parties. And to you, Dr. Bethany Marshall, how do you believe that this was infused into the victims' bodies?
Well, for some victims, it was suspended in baby oil and rectally injected. And Nancy, I want to say
slow down, Nellie. What did you say about anally?
Those 1,000 bottles of baby oil were not just a sexual lubricant. They were used to suspend pink cocaine and other substances in them so they could be injected into the victim's rectum so it go immediately into the bloodstream. Nancy, this pink cocaine, it has a mixture of one drug, which is meth, which causes hypersexuality, GHB, which causes memory loss, and MDMA, which creates an expansive, warm feeling. So we think of a date rape drug as something that just renders a person helpless. They're trying to give them uppers and downers at the same time. time. Meth is notoriously used by sex addicts because it makes you hypersexual. It makes you able to perform for hours. So these are not willy-nilly cocktails. These are cocktails that he perfected over time to use on his victims.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Talisa Bloom, high-profile civil rights lawyer representing a Diddy accuser, Dawn Richard. She is owner of the Bloom Firm, author of Suspicion Nation, the inside story of the Trayvon Martin injustice and why we continue to repeat it. Lisa, you have a huge body of work that you have created and developed over the years. And you are publicly supporting Dawn Richard's claim against Combs. Think about what Dr. Bethany just said. If this is true, women, for the most part, some men, being anally infused with baby oil laced with GHB or pink cocaine. The humiliation. And to think it's caught on video, Lisa.
Absolutely, Nancy. And we allege in Dawn Richard's complaint that she was required to go to a lot of these sex parties. She did not engage in any of the sexual acts, but she saw women there, some who she thought were underage, who clearly seemed to be zonked out of their minds, engaging in sexual acts. And she spoke out about it. She talked to them. She complained to people. She tried to get Cassie Ventura to leave Diddy, she alleges, on multiple occasions. And she was constantly threatened, she says, by Diddy, who said, you know, people disappear, people turn up dead. I mean, it was a terrifying time for her.
Can you imagine someone as powerful and as incredibly wealthy as Combs saying, hey, people disappear all the time, girl? You know, let me go back to Crispin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Robert Crispin joining us, a private investigator, but formerly with the DEA. You want to know about drugs? Ask Crispin. Robert, I hope you can see your monitor. Can we, New York Control Room, can we see those infusing devices that are part of evidence now? These reportedly used to infuse victims with pink cocaine and or other illegal substances. How would this work?
I'll tell you exactly why they do it like this, because it's a powdery mix and it's got to be diluted first, and you can't carry a liquid around in a Ziploc sandwich baggie or a small baggie. It's just going to spill everywhere. So what they do is they put it into here and they mix it so it's a clear liquid, or it's red, or whatever color they put the food coloring in, so they can actually walk up to a drink and quickly do a diversion and release the liquid into the drink. Whereas if it was a powder, then they would have to sit there and stir it and stir it and stir it, and they're going to get caught. These are pre-packaged, pre-ready to go, loaded devices to put in somebody's drink. And that's why they use those. And they're, you can carry them anywhere. You can carry them in your jacket pocket. You can carry it in your pants pocket. And when you're ready to go, you just lean over, do a diversion, and you can put it right in the drink.
A Los Angeles area business owner works with Diddy regularly, loaning out jewelry and exotic cars to the mogul. When he gets an invite to Combs' Ciroc party, he decides to attend to promote his business. During the party, Combs asks the victim to join him in his office. Behind the closed door, Combs drops his pants and advances on the victim, grabbing his genitals in a rough and sexual manner. The man freezes in shock and fear. Then somebody opens the door and interrupts Combs. The unnamed high-profile athlete ushers the victim out of the office, and the victim hightails it out of the party.
While Judge Arun Subramaniam initially granted Diddy attorney Mark Agnifilo's request for a gag order in the case, he did not rule on Agnifilo's request to have prosecutors reveal if they authorized statements aimed at assassinating Mr. Combs' character in the press. Agnifilo alleges that prosecutors intentionally introduced false allegations of child sexual abuse to the press, and once them retracted, prosecutors have until October 30th to respond to the accusations.
Okay, so defense attorney Agnifilo is blaming others. Last week, they were blaming the feds for leaking information, specifically the Cassie Ventura video where she was beaten brutally. in a public hallway by Combs, who so arrogantly thought it was okay for him to run up and down the hallway in nothing but a towel. Agnifilo is now blaming others for, he says, false allegations of sex attacks on minors trying to break into the TV industry. Tekilla Brantley joining me, investigative reporter, DailyMail.com, host of the Trial of Diddy podcast. Tell me about the defense's request for a gag order.
Yeah, Nancy. So the defense is trying anything they can to, you know, get him off, get him released early. One of those things is a gag order. But another thing that's very interesting is that this week, seven new lawsuits came out filed by Jane and John Doe's. And what the defense is saying is that it's ridiculous to them that they don't have these names because they think that, you know, they can't then mount a proper defense if they don't know who's making these claims. And these claims go from anywhere 2000 to 2022. So that's a 22-year time frame that they're trying to build a defense for.
Okay, so Lisa Bloom, in addition to what Keila Brantley has just told us, and she's absolutely correct, the defense wants the names of the victims. And what a lot of people may not know is the defense is given far before trial the names of all the witnesses, including victims. It seems to me what the defense really wants is the names of the victims made public.
I think you're right, Nancy, and you're absolutely right that, of course, any criminal defendant is going to be told before trial the names of the people who are going to testify against them in sufficient time that they can investigate, they can prepare their cross-examination. They have that right, and that's fine. But they don't have the right to gag everybody who has something bad to say about Sean Combs. They don't have the right to gag me, for example. I'm not involved in the criminal trial. They don't have the right to gag people who it's taken years and years to come forward. And now finally they've had the courage. They found it and they're standing up and they're speaking out. And, you know, Sean Combs, through his attorney, has bashed the victims. He bashed Cassie Ventura after she filed the case, essentially calling her a liar. So he didn't have any problem speaking out when it was in his interest to do so. But now he wants everybody to be quiet. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Now, speaking of a gag order, when the defense attorney wants everyone else to stop talking, why does he insist on talking himself? Listen.
They call them freak-offs. But, you know, back when I was a kid in the late 70s, they were called threesomes.
If these are genuinely threesomes, how do you explain 1,000 bottles of baby oil?
I don't know where the number 1,000 came.
The U.S. attorney said it.
I can't imagine it's thousands. I mean, you know, and I'm not really sure what the baby oil has to do with anything.
They're essentially saying it's a lubricant for an orgy.
I guess. I don't know what you need 1,000. One bottle of baby oil goes a long way. I don't know what you need 1,000 for. I mean, he has a big house. He buys in bulk. You know, I think they have Costco's in every place where he has a home. I mean, have you sat in a parking lot of a Costco and see what people walk out of there with?
Not 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
I don't think it was 1,000. I think it was. Let's just say it's a lot, okay?
That's from our friend Harvey Levin at TMZ. So while Agnifilo is demanding a gag order to stop the feds, he says, from leaking info, he is yakking incessantly. Lisa, why did he engage in verbal warfare with, of all people, Harvey Levin?
And he's not even putting facts out there. You can see him kind of spitballing as he's sitting there. Oh, I don't think it was 1,000. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it should. No, the feds have said this is what they seized from his home. And it is an important number because people are alleging that the baby oil, as you say, Nancy, was laced with drugs. Sometimes it was spread on their bodies, massaged in. Sometimes it may have been inserted into people's bodily orifices. And it's a very significant fact. That's not something to be laughed off or say, oh, well, you see people go to Costco. We're talking about sexual assault and sex trafficking, and he's trying to minimize it.
Dr. Bethany, I think that sometimes we would rather focus on the jocular, the jovial, that's kind of funny, because it's really hard to think about women that think, oh my stars, I'm going to get to go to this huge party and there are going to be all these famous people there and they can help my career. And wow, look, he got me some designer clothes to go to this. It's going to be the biggest night of my life. You go to the party and then you wake up and your vagina and your rear end is hurting and you're like, what happened. And it's all on video. Video of you in these horrible compromised situations with people having sex with you, and you're totally out of it. And you've got Diddy over in the corner allegedly going, oh, move that leg that way and that arm that way. It's degrading and upsetting. I think we'd rather see something that's somewhat jocular than have to continue to be reminded of what these allegations are.
It's also hard to imagine the victim suffering. It's ineffable, meaning that it's so horrible, we can't even put our minds, wrap our minds around it. But you think about it, he lured women and men with the promise of advancing their careers. He drugs them, then he rapes them, tapes them so that he has power over them. We think of this just being a sexual assault crime, but it's not, Nancy. This is a power crime. He stalked the victims after raping them and asking his party or having his partygoers rape them. So this is cumulative trauma and shame and fear for them. We saw this with Catholic priests who molested young people. The priests didn't just have sex with the young people and then forget about it. They chose victims that they stalked over time. And when we think about sociopaths, Nancy, one of the criteria is that there's a thin layer of affability which hides a cold, calculated interior. So he's all funny and laughing at these parties, but he is vicious when somebody crosses him.
Now, we've heard a lot, speaking of funny, about Sean Combs whining about his life behind bars. He even doesn't like the food. Now, I want to thank Sean Combs, aka Diddy's Insta, for giving me this. Now, this is a far cry from his jail food.
As your background. I ain't special. I want it bad. You feel me? I'm not going to allow myself to not have mango. So I hustle hard. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I don't know my way. No, baby.
You know, Dr. King called it the law of unintended consequences. So sometimes the more you push a person down, the stronger they get.
That from our friends at India Today. Lisa Bloom, did the attorney in all of his wisdom just compare Sean Combs to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Did I hear that, or have I gone crazy?
I think he's gone crazy. You know, it's never good for a trial attorney to overreach, to take an extreme position. It turns off the jury. And if you think there's any comparison whatsoever between Sean Combs, accused mass predator, and Martin Luther King Jr., one of the great Americans of all time, you need to have your head examined.
Guys, it's not ending there. Combs just getting compared to MLK by his lawyer. But now we find out about a weird obsession Combs apparently had with the royals.
Diddy's former publicist Rob Shooter claims Combs was obsessed with Princes William and Harry. Shooter claims Combs asked him to invite them to dozens of parties, even offering to pay for their travel, lodging, and security. But the royals were never interested in attending. Diddy finally met the princes at a party after the 2007 Concert for Diana at Wembley Stadium. But that was the extent of their relationship. Shooter even claims Diddy kept framed photos of the princes in his New York apartment.
Wow. You know, what's interesting right there, Killa Brantley, so much. Killa joining us from DailyMail.com. He couldn't quite pull off getting Harry or William to a party. Thank heavens. But he managed to convince so many people that his parties were the place to be. I'm talking about Oprah, Obama, Trump, Hillary, all sorts of A-list celebs showed up there. Of course, how were they supposed to know what was going on in the back room?
Yeah, Nancy, and this just goes to show how highly he thought of himself, that he kind of deserves to have these royals at his party, these high profile people. And like you said, it was the place to be. For most people, hopefully, you would think that this is just the party. You know, you want to get pictured at a Diddy party. Hopefully it'll advance your career. But for many people, like, we're finding out that wasn't the case.
Lisa Bloom joining me, high profile civil rights attorney representing a Diddy accuser, Dawn Richard. Lisa, I know we all recall when you and I were together at Court TV, and on certain weekends, certain lucky people, not me, would go out to the Hamptons for big parties, really big parties. Now, Lisa, as I recall, you have owned dogs in the past, right? Canines?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever seen one sniff the rear end of the other one?
Yes. Just this morning.
Well, that's what happens at these parties. They're all just sniffing around to find the most popular, the most influential, the most famous person. And somehow Combs, as Kayla Brantley pointed out, thought, yeah, I'm going to get the royals at my party. Arrogance out the yin yang. Like, Prince William wants Diddy sniffing his rear end at some social climbing party? I don't think so.
You know, Nancy, I didn't go to the Hamptons parties either. I went to the Poconos and went hiking. That's my cup of tea. But Denzel Washington had a great line about the Diddy parties. He said, when you go to a Hollywood party, leave 30 minutes before the devil arrives. And I would add to that, that if you go to these parties and anything starts going down, you should leave. And if you think it's illegal, you should report it because you should be protecting victims. And I'm not saying everybody who was there knew what was going on, but I think more did know what was going on than they are letting on now.
We wait as justice unfolds and more alleged victims emerge. And now we stop to remember an American hero, Trooper Daniel Redmond, South Carolina Highway Patrol, just 31 killed in the line of duty. Survived by a grieving wife, now widow, Michelle, and their three daughters, Olivia, Charlie, and Kennedy. American hero, Trooper Daniel Redmond. Thank you to all of our guests, but especially to you for being with us. Nancy Gray signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.